We, this afternoon, will be beginning a new series. Our series is called Knowing God, and we will be looking at what is called the doctrine of God or theology proper. Let's look into the scriptures as we begin our study on the doctrine of God. We begin with reading from Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, and we'll read two verses, verse 23 and 24. Hear the word of God. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. From Jeremiah 9, turn in the New Testament to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It would be of value to read the whole thing, but we'll read the first three verses of John 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Here ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord, we do ask for your help as we begin this new series. We ask for help to understand you and your character and who you are, and we ask for humility as we begin this very, very important subject that affects all of our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So it's been said that all men are theologians. All men are theologians. Everybody meditates on their God. So all people have a theology, whether they admit to it or not. Every man, woman, and child in this world is a theologian born with a knowledge of God, and all of us do something with that knowledge. There's an Aesop's fable that describes the discontent dog with the bone in his mouth. You know this fable. The dog has the bone in his mouth and he's trotting along and he comes to a bed of water and he looks in and he sees a dog with a bone in his mouth. And he begins to covet that bone. He's no longer content with the one that's in his mouth and he begins to covet. And you know how the story goes. He attempts to get that bone and in his attempt he drops his own bone and he loses it. He has nothing. And that Aesop's fable in many ways is about contentment, but it really can describe humanity in their attempt to get to know God. Because we are made in the image of God, there's something about God, there's something of God that is on us. And when we look in the mirror and we long to know who God is, what we do by nature is that we begin forming a God after that image that we see in the mirror, like the dog did in the fable. Romans 1:19 tells us that man takes this knowledge, this inborn knowledge of God, and he suppresses it. And Paul doesn't just say, man has some generic, general knowledge of God that he suppresses. Paul actually says he suppresses the attributes of God. He suppresses the power of God, and he suppresses the divine nature of God. So that's a lot. That's not just a general, there is a God somewhere out there. But man is born already in relationship with God, and he suppresses that relationship. He suppresses it and sets aside those attributes, that power, and that divine nature. Now, I'm not saying that he's born in a saving relationship with God, but he's born in a relationship with God where he understands something of who God is. So the question becomes, what do we do with that knowledge? We have a baby born. Say the Jensen twins are our youngest. They're born with a knowledge of God. And what are they going to do with that knowledge becomes the question. And where does that knowledge lead us to? Now, this is why we're studying theology. This is why we're beginning an afternoon service called Knowing God. The study of God is the most important endeavor that a person can undertake. You know that at least in the Middle Ages, theology used to be called the queen of the sciences. Theology stood as the high point of learning, because theology was to affect all the areas of our life, all the ways that we think and understand life should have been shaped by our theology. Now, you may be thinking, well, Pastor, this sounds like the most boring thing we could ever, ever, ever do, to have a series on theology. And you may think, you know, it sounds a little too much like seminary class and doesn't really sound like something that is going to affect our lives in a good way. Theology is practical. Going and understanding and learning and knowing God is something that is going to be practical for all our lives. J.I. Packer says, the questioner clearly assumes that a study of the nature and character of God will be impractical and irrelevant for life. In fact, however, it is the most practical project anyone can engage in. Knowing about God is crucially important for the living of our lives. So this should stand at the center of our life. We desire to know God. We desire to know him. Tozer notes that the history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. So we want something practical, right? We all want something that can be applied to our lives. I want something too. I like things that are practical. And I'm telling you that the study of the knowledge of God is going to be practical. It's going to affect the way that you live, and as a culture studies the knowledge of God, it can shape and affect the way that a culture exists as well. So what are we doing? Well, we're beginning a study on what is called theology proper. Now, the word theology at the most basic meaning means the study of God. Okay? It doesn't have to be something that is that difficult. Because when we are in the scriptures, we're doing theology. As we're reading the scriptures, we are doing theology. And by calling it theology proper, what we mean is that we're dealing specifically with who God is in his person. And that's why the title is Knowing God. We're going to learn about God and learn about how we can know God. We are going to learn about who he is. Now, some of the subjects that will be covered as we go through this series in the afternoon will be the incomprehensibility of God, the knowledge of God, the names of God, God's attributes, the Trinity, what God does, how God creates, and how God cares for His creation. Now, you may sit there and think, well, I don't even know what some of those words mean. But that's all right. It's okay, because as we get into this, as we get into the Scriptures, we are going to gain an understanding from the Scriptures of what these mean. It's important for us to know in our afternoon service here that we are here to worship. This is not going to be a systematic theology course. This is worship. The goal is for you to turn your hearts towards God in adoration and to give Him praise for who He is. Now, Herman Bavinck said, "The knowledge of God is the central core dogma, the exclusive content of theology. From the start of its labors, dogmatic theology is shrouded in mystery. It stands before God as the incomprehensible one. And this knowledge leads to adoration and worship. To know God is to live. Knowing God is possible for us because God is personal, exalted above the earth, and yet in fellowship with human beings on earth." What he's saying is that as we begin this study of God and of who God is, all we really have is this ability to look around and say, you know, I know there is a God. And by His creation and by how wonderful and how big He is, I don't know how I can reach this God. And then we will go into the Scriptures, which will be our guide for how we can know this God and how we will come to understand this God. And what we'll realize from the Scriptures is this God that is the incomprehensible one made a way for us to be in communion with Him. And we will learn about that. And it will lead to greater love for who God is. Now, why are we studying God? Why are we doing this instead of like 10 practical ways to date in the 21st century or something like that? Well, the first reason that we're studying God is that we desire to know Him. We desire to know God. And if you don't know God, then your desire should be that you do know God. Now, if you love somebody or if you're interested in somebody, you're going to do all that you can to get to know that person, right? Or if you are interested in like dating somebody, you're going to do all that you can to find out who somebody is, what they're like, what they're about, what makes them happy, what makes them angry, what makes them upset. And what you're going to do is you're going to find time and find ways to be in communion with that person, either writing letters or sending emails or calling or sending text messages, all these sorts of things, trying to find out more and more and more about who this person is that you care about. And this is what we do in theology. We have a God that loved us enough to come down and to save us. And as a result, we want to get to know all that we can about that God. And the way that He's revealed Himself is through His Word. So that's going to be the way that we study about God. We're going to look into His Word to see what He has said about Himself. Now, there's other benefits as well for beginning a study on knowing God. The first is that the study of knowing God is the greatest privilege of the Christian. In the Jeremiah passage that we read, there were all sorts of people listed, weren't there? Let the wealthy not boast in his wealth, and let the wise not boast in his wisdom. But if you're going to boast, boast in this, that you know me, that you know who I am. And God through Jeremiah says, boast in this knowledge of who God is. and that you are in relationship with this God should be a joy for the Christian to find out more about God. It should be the joy of the Christian to study God and to learn about Him. It should be an honor for the Christian. Now, another reason that we are studying about God is that the study of God and God Himself is at the core of all the covenant promises and blessings in the Scripture. Whenever God comes down and makes a covenant with man, what is central to that covenant is that that person would know God, that they would know Him. Think about Abraham. God comes down and makes a covenant with Abraham and says, I will make you my friend. Or David, he comes down and he makes a covenant with David and he says, you and your people I will be in relationship with. And we can even go back to the covenant of grace made before time. In that covenant made before time, called the covenant of grace, said that between God and between His Son, Jesus Christ, the application would be made that men and women, boys and girls, may know God. Without that covenant of grace, we would not have the ability to know God in a saving way. Now, it's a great benefit to the Christian life, being in a restored relationship with God and knowing God and getting to know God more. Now, some people may say, you know, instead of studying theology, we should study something else. And they'll make this argument. I've heard this a number of times. People will say, does it pertain to salvation? Have you ever heard that? Or is it salvific, is the fancy word they like to use. You know, you're reading something, you're studying something, and you say, hey, this is great, and you tell the person why this material is great, and they say, well, does it pertain to salvation? And what people mean when they say that is the only thing that we should study about God are those things that tell us how we can be saved. And this is not a good way to go about studying the Scriptures or to go about studying who God is, because salvation is the beginning of this journey of knowing God. It's not the final destination. We are saved that we may know God, and we should be studying who God is because of it. Now, another reason that we are studying who God is that it is at the center of the gospel message to know God. Eternal life by Jesus Christ is defined as this knowledge of God, isn't it? We read from John 17 where Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. So at the basic definition of what eternal life is, it's this knowledge of God and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Another reason that we're studying the knowledge of God is it is the key to Christian growth. And we want to grow as Christians. We want to develop in our spiritual lives. We want to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of the Scriptures. And the object of what we study in the Scriptures is who God is and what God does. So it lies at the very center of Christian growth. You want to be a better Christian? You want to know Christ more deeply? We study God. We study who God is. We study what God is doing. And fifthly, a knowledge of God is central for a correct view of ethics. And this is where it's like, this is so practical. If we don't know God, we cannot know how to live a good life. The knowledge of God is so central to ethics that it affects every aspect of our lives. If we want to know if something is right or wrong, the way that we know that is by knowing God. We don't know that by just looking out into nature or through what some call natural theology. We look to God. We look to what God has revealed. So we see that it's important. It's an important study to begin the study of God. Now, what attitude should we have as we approach this study? Well, the first attitude that we need to have is that we need to be listeners rather than talkers. We want to learn what the scriptures say, and we want to be able to hear God speaking in the scriptures. Do you remember when God came to Samuel? He calls him. What does Samuel say? He says, "Here I am, Lord. You called." And this needs to be our attitude as we begin to study the doctrine of God and who God is. Lord, you are calling, and you need to listen. We need to listen to the scriptures as God speaks. The second attitude that we have is we must have an ability to tell ourselves that it doesn't matter what we think. Now, that might just sound so harsh. Pastor, that is mean. It's not mean. The bottom line and the fact is that none of us should care what I think about who God is or what any of you think about who God is. We should care what the scriptures say for who God is. I think everybody here has been to a Bible study where somebody says, "I like to think of God as," and then they tell you. Our question needs to be, what does the scriptures say? What do the scriptures say? Who God is? I remember a friend in Grand Rapids who went to a Bible study and came back and had to call me and tell me about this experience where she's an RN, and she was in a Bible study with a lot of other medical professionals with advanced degrees. And one of the people in the Bible study said, "I like to think of God as a little girl dancing over me." And she said she had to cover her mouth because she just almost burst into laughter, because there's nothing in the scriptures that would even remotely begin to help us think of God in that way. But this is how, I mean, this is obviously an extreme example, but we often come to the scriptures and say, "I like to think of God as," and we need to tell ourselves, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the scriptures think. It matters what God thinks. Now, we also must come prayerfully. The natural man is a man who wants to excel at everything. A man who wants to master a subject. And we need to come prayerfully, understanding that we're not going to master the doctrine of God. If you memorize each of the books that I recommended to you before the sermon, you would not have mastered the doctrine of God. It's only a scratch of the surface of our understanding of who God is in His bigness. As we begin to study God and to understand something about Him, we're going to realize that God's greatness is so big that we will only scratch the surface as to what is revealed. We also must come with humility. We're studying the Creator of the universe, someone that is so completely holy and so completely sinless and perfect that the scriptures tell us that even the seraphim that have never sinned cover their faces in His presence. And we need to come with that humility, knowing that He is so perfect and so holy and so other than who we are, that we even have this great privilege to study Him. And lastly, we must come with repentance. There may be ideas that you hold about God that are unbiblical. There may be things where you have to say, I never knew this about God. And we may have to repent. We may have to repent of things that we've believed. And right from the beginning, we need to come to God saying, I will have a repentant heart. I will come to learn from Your Word and repent of anything false that I have, any pride or flippancy. Friends, we are about to embark on one of the most important journeys of our lives as we study who God is. So let me end with a quote from J.I. Packer as he shares the heaviness of this study. In this quote, we see the importance of what we're going to study and the reasons that we study and the attitude in which we study. Packer says, "Disregard the study of God and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way you can waste your life and lose your soul." I think we see the weightiness of this study in that quote. So as we begin to embark on this journey, let us know that this God that we're studying is the God of the Scriptures. And let us embark on this study that we may know Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come in thankfulness. We do come acknowledging Your goodness and Your greatness and Your holiness. And Father, we ask that You would help us in this time, knowing that it is only through You revealing Yourself to us that we can have a true knowledge of who You are. Amen.